You're listening to the Sage Brush Podcast. Relax, close your eyes, and listen to tales of the Old West.
Stay tuned now for the Burl Ives Show, produced and transcribed in Hollywood for your listening pleasure.
Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. My master's gone away.
Coming up the road again, your wayfaring stranger, Philco's friendly troubadour, Burl Ives.
Spied a cowpuncher riding along. His hat was thrown back and his spurs were a-jingling. And as he approached, he was a-singing a song. Whoopie-tie-yi-yo, get along, little doggy. It's your misfortune and none of my own. Whoopie-tie-yi-yo, get along, little doggy. You know that Wyoming will be your new home. It's early in the spring, we round up the dogies. We mark 'em and brand 'em and bob off the tails. We round up our horses and load the chuck wagon. Then throw the dogies out onto the trail. We'll be tie-yi-yo, get along. It's your misfortune and none of my own. Whoop-a-tie-yi-yo, get along, little dogies. You know that Wyoming will be your new home. Now that's what I call a gallant song. I hear other folks talk about songs being solid, reet, and vooty. I'm not quite sure what those words mean, but I do like that gallant. Yes, sir, gallant. I guess that's solid and reet and vooty all rolled up into one. Now I'd like to just say howdy and sing you some more cowboy songs. This one is called The Cowboy's Dream. I picked it up down in the panhandle 10-15 years ago, I reckon. Last night as I lay on the prairie and looked at the stars in the sky, I wondered if ever a cowboy would come to that sweet by and by. Roll on, roll on, roll on, little dogie, roll on, roll on. Roll on, roll on, roll on, little dogie, roll on. They say there'll be many a stray roundup, a branded a maverick astray. So for safety you'd better get branded to prepare for that great judgment day. Roll on, roll on, roll on, little dogie, roll on, roll on. Roll on, roll on, roll on, little dogie, roll on. You know, cowboys today are different. They used to ride the range all by themselves, singing a sad cowboy song to the little dogies. But now you'll see them riding along in a jeep with a Philco portable at their side and some New York cowboy singing the latest cowboy song right off the mesa of Tin Pan Alley. Well, I sneaked that commercial in on you, didn't I? But you know, that little Philco portable really gets around. Out west, that powerful Philco keeps a cowboy in touch with what's going on, even though he's miles and miles away from civilization. I got a song now about a cowboy. Got himself into an awful lot of trouble over a woman. I've got no use for women. A true one may never be found. They'll stick by a man for his money. When it's gone, they'll turn him down. They're all alike at the bottom, selfish and grasping for all. They'll stick by a man when he's winning and laugh in his face when he falls. My pal was a straight young cowpuncher, honest and upright and square. But he turned to a gambler and gunman, and a woman sent him there. Quicker and surer his gun play, till his heart in his body lay dead. When a Vanquo insulted her picture, he filled him full of lead. All night long they trailed him through Muspeak and Chaparral, and I couldn't but think of that woman as I saw him pitch and fall. If she'd been the pal that she should have, she might have been raising a son instead of out there on the prairie to fall by a ranger's gun. Death's slow sting did not trouble. His chances for life were too slim. But where they were a-putting his body was all that worried him. He lifted his head on his elbow. The blood from his wound flowed red. He looked at his pals grouped around him, and he whispered to them and said, "Oh, bury me out on the prairie, where the coyotes may howl o'er my grave. Bury me out on the prairie, and some of my bones please save. Wrap me up in my blankets and cover me deep beneath the ground. Cover me over with boulders of granite huge and round." So they buried him out on the prairie, and the coyotes still howl o'er his grave. But his soul is now a-resting from the unkind cut she gave. And many a similar cowpuncher, as he rides by that pile of stone, recalls some similar woman and envies his molten bones. You know, Texans are wonderful people. There isn't anything more important to them than being a Texan. I remember one time I was wayfaring in the panhandle down Texas way. I come into this little town and saw a three-piece brass band leading a funeral procession. About the same time, the townspeople began to show on themselves, coming out of the hotel, the feed store, and leaning out of the second-story balconies. And a big fellow in patent leather boots and a six-gun on his hip, he come right up and stood beside me. And pretty soon he was joined by a little fellow chewing on a plug of tobacco. And as the procession passed us, I said, "From the way everybody's turning out, that man who died must have been a fine man." And the big fellow in the patent leather boots said, "Stranger, he was the orneriest, cussedest, two-timinest, slickest, wife-beaten, horse-thieving, black-heartedest Texan I ever saw." And the little fellow chewed away on his quid of tobacco and said, Well, it just goes to show, a feller has to die afore a man will say anything good about him. Have you ever listened to the rhythm of a cowboy song? Well, it's an easy rhythm. It goes along with the easy lope of the horse and the slow dance of the mesquite in the moonlight. I ride an old paint, I lead old Dan. I'm a-going to Montana for to throw the hooly hand. They feed in the coulee, they water in the draw. Their tails are all matted, their backs are all raw. Ride around, little Logie, ride around them slow, for the fiery and the snuffy are a-raring to go. Old Bill Jones had two daughters and a song. One went to Denver, the other went wrong. His wife, she died in a pool room fight, but still he keeps on singing from morning to night. Ride around, little doggy, ride around slow, for the fiery and the snuffy are a-raring to go. When I die, take my saddle from the wall. Lead out my pony, lead him out of the stall. Tie my bones to the saddle, turn his face toward the west, and we'll ride the prairie that we love the best. Ride around, little Logie, ride around him slow, for the fiery and the snuffy are a-raring to go. I'm about to sing Cotton-Eyed Joe. Don't know how he gets in here, except that he's a wandering, wayfaring kind of a fella. Kind of likely to show up anywheres. Where do you come from? Where do you go? Where do you come from, Cotton-Eyed Joe? Will I come for to see you? Come for to sing, come for to show you my diamond ring. Now my partner here would like to have a little powwow with you. I'll be right back. Here's a small cowboy ballad for you, friends. It goes something like this. It was way out west where men were bad, and a girl was a rare bouquet. She'd hide her lover and say to her dad, he went that-a-way. I'm a-going that-a-way too myself. So long, I'll be seeing you next week. I'm just a wayfaring stranger, ever traveling to and fro, and there's no toil, no storm, no danger in that fair home.
So long, Burl. And friends, listen next week at this time for Burl Ives, Philco's friendly troubadour, whose weekly visit is produced and transcribed in Hollywood for your listening pleasure. and come into our store and let us demonstrate the new Philco radios and radio phonographs.
I'm just a going ever onward. I'm just a going over home.
Hello, this is Clyde J. Kell with a brief reminder. Mystery Play Internet Radio is listener supported, so I encourage your monetary support with a donation today. Please visit www.mpir-otr.com and click on the donations page. A one-time donation of any amount will be greatly appreciated. Again, that's www.mpir-otr.com. And thank you for listening to Mystery Play Internet Radio.
Gunsmoke, brought to you by Chesterfield, America's most popular two-way cigarette. What a pair. Chesterfield King Size at the new low price. Chesterfield Regular. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of Gunsmoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad, the transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job that makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Mr. Dillon, I wonder what Dodge would be like if there wasn't always a crowd moving up and down Front Street.
Uh-huh.
Just look at them. Everybody going somewheres.
Well, there are a lot of them that aren't going anywhere at all, Chester. Just drifting.
Yes, sir, I guess you're right at that, Mr. Dillon. I know when I first come to Dodge, I sure didn't have nothing in mind. Leastwise, working for a U.S. Marshal like you.
Well, you must have had some reason to come here, Chester.
Well, backwards-like reason, maybe.
Huh? What do you mean?
Well, it's like it wasn't to come here as much as it was to leave there.
What?
I say it's like it wasn't to come here as much as it was to leave there.
Oh, you mean Texas?
Yes, sir.
Oh. Why?
Mr. Dillon, Texas is mostly populated by my family. I got relatives, thick and thin relatives, all over Texas.
Oh, what's wrong with that?
Why, it's like having somebody looking over your shoulder all the while to make man spooky. Well, sir, I choose to do my sinning where nobody don't know me.
Hello, Matt and Chester.
Hiya, Doc.
Where are you headed for, Doc?
No place, Matt. I'm just walking around.
Now, you see, Chester, see what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Well, now, what's the matter with just walking around? Does a man have to be going someplace every minute? Anyway, you're a fine pair to be criticizing people. Sitting here like a couple of fat, horny toads in the sun.
Now, slow down, Doc. Slow down. You're burning up all your fuel.
Well, who's this fella?
Which one of you men's Doc Adams?
I am.
Come on, I got a job for you.
Well, is that so? But you don't look very sick, mister.
It ain't me. It's a man in camp.
Camp?
A couple of miles up in Arkansas. We're holding the trail herd there.
What part of Texas you from, mister?
We got 3,000 head of San Saba Longhorn. And it's been a plumb miserable drive all the way, and I ain't no temper to answer any more fool questions.
All right, then, don't answer. Now, hold up a minute there, young fella. Now, what's the matter with this man of yours?
You'll see when you get there.
Well, tell me now, else how will I know what to take?
Look, Doc, it wasn't my idea to come get you. Ken Talley made me come.
And who's Ken Talley?
The trail boss. Now, you ready to go?
Well, you tell me what's wrong with the man, and I'll go.
Doc.
What?
I think I'll ride out with you.
Who are you?
My name's Dillon.
Well, you're the marshal here, ain't you?
That's right.
Well, we don't need no marshal out there.
Chester, go get our horses, huh? We'll ride out with Doc.
Yes, sir. I brought the doc, Ken.
How many doctors they got in Dodge anyway, Choke?
That's the doc there.
Well, who are these other two?
My name's Matt Dillon, Tully. This is Chester Proudfoot.
How do you do, Mr. Tully?
Dillon, huh? Well, I didn't send for you, Marshal.
Yeah, I know you didn't.
Then what are you doing here?
That's a sick man lying in the blanket over there by the fire.
You can get mounted and ride right back to Dodge, all three of you. We don't need Doc no more.
Oh, no, you don't, mister. If that man's sick, I'm going to take a look at
him. He's all right, Doc. Forget him.
Come on, Doc. Well, Doc?
He's dead, man. Mighty contagious disease, too.
Oh?
I found that when one man gets shot, it usually leads to somebody else getting shot sooner or later.
Who killed this man, Tully? How'd it happen?
I don't figure it's none of your business, Marshal, but since you're so nosy, I'll tell you. He shot himself.
That's a lie. He couldn't have shot himself.
Why not, Doc?
Because he was shot in the back. That's why.
Uh-huh. You gonna tell me who did it, Tully?
No, Marshal. I ain't gonna tell you nothing.
Tully, your man Choate here told us that you've had a hard drive up from the San Saba.
Hard? We fought Indians and thieving Kansas jayhawkers and bad weather and stampedes the whole way, Marshal. But we're still ready to fight Dodge City if we have to.
Well, you've been through a lot, Tully, and I know how edgy it's made you, all of you. But this man's been murdered, and I gotta have the murderer.
His name's Bud Cowan.
Whose name?
Him. There.
Who killed Bud Cowan?
It's no use, Marshal. I got 18 Texas cowboys here. Well, 17, and there ain't a one of them that'll talk.
Look, Tully, you're a responsible man, or you wouldn't be trail boss. Now, you know what the law means. You know what it's for.
Kansas law ain't for Texans, Marshal. We'll fight our own snake.
I'm not a Kansas Marshal. I'm a United States Marshal, but the law's the same.
It don't matter. No Texan's gonna get hung in Kansas, leastwise not as long as I'm around. And there ain't a thing you can do about it, Marshal.
Yes, there is.
Like what?
Your men are kind of hankering to buck the tiger in Dodge, aren't they?
Of course they are. For 3 months, they ain't talked to nothing else.
So if they don't get the Dodge, they're going to be mighty unhappy. Maybe one or two of them will decide to talk.
Marshal, how are you going to keep 17 juiced-up Texas cowboys out of Dodge? They'll ride right over you.
No, I can't keep them out, Tully, but I can fix it so there won't be anything for them when they get there.
What do you mean?
I'll close Front Street. Every saloon, every gambling table, every store. I'll close them up tight.
You do that?
And if you knew me well enough, you wouldn't ask. Come on, Doc. Chester. You think it over, Tully.
What a pair. What a buy. King-size Chesterfield. Now at the new low price, and Chesterfield Regular. They're the quality twins, the same highest quality, the same low nicotine. Either way you like them, you get the same wonderful taste and mildness, a refreshing smoke every time. Change to Chesterfield, America's most popular two-way cigarette. Yes, the Chesterfield you smoke today is the best cigarette ever made. What a pair. Chesterfield Regular, Chesterfield King Size. They satisfy millions. They're best for you.
Sure didn't take long for the word to get around, did it, Mr. Dillon?
Ken Tully followed us to town yesterday, Chester. He's smart enough to know how the businessmen would react.
You mean he come in here and told them all about it?
Yeah, of course he did.
Oh, hello, Marshal.
Hello, John. Well, here's the Dodge House, Chester. You better wait out here.
Okay, sir. Mr. Green said they'd be waiting for you right in the lobby.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm glad you came, Marshal.
Well, what can I do for you, Mr. Green?
Quiet, gentlemen, please. I'll do the talking. Marshal Dillon, as you can see, most of Dodge's leading businessmen are present here. Mr. Tompkins, Mr. Jonas, Mr. Botkin, Mr. Teeters.
Yes, sir.
And I'm here as owner of the Dodge House. Marshal, you know why we're here as well as we do.
Because I told Ken Tully I'd close Front Street. Huh?
Exactly. And we won't stand for that, Marshal. We need that Texas money, and we're going to get it.
Gentlemen, a man was murdered out at that camp.
Oh, he was just some Texas cowboy, Marshal. The prosperity of Dodge is certainly more important than him. Don't you agree, gentlemen?
Why, certainly, Mr. Green. Absolutely.
Now, wait a minute. You mean that you so-called good citizens of Dodge are putting a few dollars above the value of the law? Even above the value of a human life?
Don't preach to us, Marshal Dillon. All the men you've killed.
Mr. Green, I never killed a man in my life except in the performance of duty or in self-defense.
All right, that's not important.
We're wasting time, gentlemen. I'm hired to enforce the law, and I'm going to do it. Any way I see fit. Now, is that clear?
Well, then we'll complain about you, Marshal. Sure will. We'll all write letters to Washington and have you fired.
You will, huh? Good. Fine, that's fine. Then maybe I can get a little sleep for a change. Start walking around like an ordinary man instead of jumping at shadows thinking somebody's about to shoot me any minute. Yeah, go ahead. And maybe I can afford to have a few friends again. Instead of everybody looking at me sideways like I was some kind of a rattlesnake. Gentlemen, I might not have to kill anybody again as long as I live. Yeah, you go on. Write your letters. You'll be doing me a great big favor. Oh. And just one more thing. There's just about enough money in this job of mine to pay for my ammunition. But I'm still going to close up Front Street. What is it, Chester?
What did you say to Mr. Green and them other men yesterday?
Huh? Why?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just curious.
Well, I said the same thing that you'd say, Chester. At least I hope you would.
Oh, yes, of course I would. And I sure do thank you, Mr. Dillon. I'm mighty proud to have you say that.
But you don't know what I told him, Chester.
Oh, it don't matter. I trust you. You know what you're doing.
Well, thank you, Chester. I'm glad somebody thinks so.
Well, of course, I've seen you make mistakes sometimes. Well, I mean, nobody ain't perfect much. It's a simple thing for anybody.
Why don't you go on to the depot and pick up the mail, Chester? Huh?
Yes, sir, by the way, that's right. Santa Fe just come in over an hour ago.
Good morning, Marshal.
Well, Ken Tully.
Marshal. This here's Sam Peoples I brought with me.
Huh? Hello, Peoples.
Hello. Marshal, I done a lot of thinking the last day or so.
No?
Yes, sir. I've decided you're right about the law and all. So I went and brought Sam Peoples in.
You mean he killed that man, Bud Cowan?
He sure did. These five cowboys that witnessed it, Marshal, including myself, all be glad to testify at the trials any time you say.
Is that right, Peoples? Did you kill Bud Tower?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, what happened to your face? Fall off a horse or something?
Yes, sir. I come loose off in a bronc yesterday.
Uh-huh. Okay, lock him up, Chester.
All right, sir. Everything all right now, Marshal?
Well, I'll let you answer that, Tully.
No hard feelings on my side. Just don't let him get away now. One murder is all I can produce for you. See you later, Marshal.
Well, come on, people. The cells is out back here.
Wait a minute, Chester.
Yes, sir?
Bring him back here, huh?
Yes, sir. Come on, people.
Peoples, tell me something. Are you a Texan?
No, sir, I ain't, Marshal.
And what are you doing with that San Saba outfit?
I run into them when they was bringing their cattle across the Cimarron, sir. They hired me on just for grub, and I wanted to get to Dodge real bad.
Yeah, I see. That bronc you fell off of yesterday, did he drop on your face?
Yes, sir. Well, sort of.
I'd sure like to see that horse.
You would?
Yeah. It'd be kind of interesting to see a horse that's got hooves like a man's fist.
Yes, sir.
There's not much you can do about this, is there, Peoples?
No, sir. They're all going to swear I done it.
Do you know who did?
No, sir, I don't. I was out riding herd when it happened. And none of them fellers ever talked to me much, anyways.
Well, you're in a tough spot.
Yes, sir.
Unless I can find out who did kill Bud Cowan, you're going to have to stand trial. But I'll do what I can for you, if that happens.
Thank you, Marshal. I don't guess there's much anybody can do. All them fellas testifying.
Well, we'll see. Go get him something to eat, will you, Chester?
Yes, sir.
I'll be out on the street. Ken Tully's men are going to be feeling free to do about anything. I could picture Tully and his men when he got back to camp, laughing at how they'd put it over on me and the rest of Dodge. I figured Mr. Green and his businessmen had talked to Tully, but I was sure they didn't know Sam Peoples was an innocent man. And neither did they understand the kind of trouble that tampering with the law could lead to. For the Texans, the lid was off. They felt that they were running the town, that nothing could touch them. And all I could do was wait. So I went over to the Texas Trail and sat with Kitty for a while, watching the crowd.
I'm glad you're here, Matt. Otherwise, I'd have to be drinking at the bar with one of those beat-up cowboys.
Well, I hope I'm not costing you money, Kitty.
You are, but I won't start. Anyway, it's better than trying to grin back at those cowboys.
Well, those men have had a rough time coming up the trail, Kitty.
Nobody asked them to come.
No, I suppose not.
You know, Matt, I've worked in a lot of places, even the gold camps. Dodge is worse than any of them.
Oh, is that so? Why?
I don't know. Maybe the sun and the prairie take too much out of everybody. Seems like every man that comes to Dodge is out to get his own back somehow, even if he has to kill somebody to do it.
Well, I guess I follow you, Kitty.
All I'm saying is that maybe a hard life makes men kind of angry. They want to fight all the time.
Well, something sure makes them want to fight, or at least get drunk.
Look at them. Hey, who's that coming this way, man?
Huh?
Good.
Now, that's Ken Tully, the San Saba trail boss.
Well, he sure looks like he wants to fight.
Yeah, maybe he does, Kitty. I will soon see.
We will return for the last act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. Tomorrow afternoon, almost 100,000 cheering people will pack Cleveland's Municipal Stadium for that great annual baseball classic, the All-Star Game. I guess there isn't a fan in the country who wouldn't like to be there. And you folks who are going will notice, towering above center field, the mammoth Chesterfield scoreboard. Now, if you visited the American League dugout tomorrow, you'd want to say hello to the Yankees' famous catcher, Yogi Berra. He's a Chesterfield smoker, has been for 7 years. And as he puts it, they're mild and they taste great. Yogi likes the regular size. Across the field in the National League dugout, there's another man you'd want to meet. The fabulous Stan the Man Musial of the St. Louis Cards. It's Stan's 11th All-Star game in his 11th year with Chesterfields. Now, he likes a long smoke, so he buys Chesterfield king size. What a pair they are. Musial and Berra. And what a pair these are. Chesterfield king size at the new low price and Chesterfield regular. It's America's most popular two-way cigarette. Try Chesterfields yourself. They satisfy millions. They're best for you.
Evening, Marshal.
Hello, Tully.
You gonna introduce me to the lady?
Nobody has to introduce anybody here, mister. My name's Kitty.
Kitty, huh? Well, my name's Ken Tally. How about having a drink with me, Kitty?
Sorry, I'm busy.
Oh, come on, you ain't busy.
You heard her, Tully. Go on back to the bar, huh?
You're sure something, ain't you, Marshal?
Why don't you get going?
Okay. Okay, I'll go. Sure I will.
Is he crazy or just drunk?
I don't know, Kitty.
Anyway, I'll bet he gets into trouble before the night's out.
Not if he does. There's plenty of room in jail for him.
I take it you've already got a grudge against him.
Yeah, I sure have. But it's not on my account.
Huh? Whose?
An innocent little fella called Sam Peoples.
Sam Peoples?
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute.
Like a fight starting.
Yeah. You stay here, Kitty.
I'll be on the floor in a minute.
All right, hold it there. Hold it.
What's trouble, Marshal?
You and this man settle your differences some other way, Choate. I won't have any gunplay here.
Gunplay? Well, we weren't fighting, Marshal. Was we, Jim?
No, we was just haranguing each other, so...
Me and Jim always talk like that, Marshal. Don't we, ma'am? Why, looky there, Marshal. Ken Tally's running off with the gal.
Get in, let's go outside and look at the moon.
Sure. And I'll rub the rest of this bottle around in your face when you get up.
All right, get out of the way, Kitty.
Gladly, Matt.
I fooled you, didn't I, Marshal?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You sort of fooled me. Tully!
Now, look here, Marshal. That ain't no way to act. What's the matter with you, anyhow?
All right, shut up!
What? Marshal? Is eight of us here. You think you can whip all of us?
No. No, I don't, Choate. Not eight of you.
Well, then you're going to get whipped. Come on, man.
Just stay where you are, all of you. I'd be a fool to mix in a brawl with all of you men. I don't aim to try it.
Looks like you ain't got much choice, Marshal. And we're going to beat you about half to death.
No, you're not.
No? What's to stop us? Don't look like nobody in here is going to help you out.
I'm carrying a gun, Choate.
Oh, that. That don't bother us none, Marshal. Does it, man?
Yeah.
See, Marshal? We don't care about your gun. There's too many of us.
Aren't you forgetting something, Choate?
What?
I don't wear this gun to kill snakes with the way you men do. I'll have bullets in at least three of you before you get off a shot. And you'll be the first.
What's the matter with you men? He's just bluffing. He's scared half to death right now.
Choate. Forget about it, Choate. Don't be egging him on.
Then I'll fight it.
I ain't so bad with a gun.
Don't try it, Chote.
You shoot me, the boys will take care of you.
Don't do it, Chote, I'm telling you.
Ah, what's a Kansas marshal?
No. Well, who's next? Any more of you men want to die in this place? All right, then get out of here and get on back to camp. Move.
But he ain't singing very loud this morning.
How's your jaw, Telly?
Busted. Doc said you busted it on this side right here.
I'm sorry. I guess I must have lost my temper.
You sure did, Marshal. But the fight's out of me now. I'm plumb sober.
You heard about Gil Choate?
Chester told me. Choate shouldn't have gone up against you.
No, he shouldn't.
Well, now he's dead. Don't matter none, I guess.
What doesn't matter?
Choate's the man that killed Bud Cowan, Marshal. That's why I made him come to town for Doc, kind of punish him that way.
Oh?
Shot Cowan in the back. But I had to protect Choate anyway. You know how it is.
What about Sam Peoples, Telly?
Oh, him. Well, I'd have wrote you a letter from Texas, Marshal, saying it was a lie. Anyway, I'm selling them cattle. I aim to be out of here in 2 days, Marshal.
Uh-huh. Okay, Telly. Get going.
We can be friends now, can't we, Marshal?
You ever hear of a lawman with friends?
Well, you must have a couple.
Yeah. Yeah, I have. A couple. So long, Telly. I'll tell Sam Peoples that you didn't mean it.
Here is our star, William Conrad.
Thank you, George. You know, it's a wonderful cigarette we've been telling you about tonight. I mean, Chesterfield, of course. My cigarette. King size or regular, Chesterfields give you the taste and mildness you want every time you light up. So give them a try. They satisfy millions. You'll like them, too.
Gunsmoke, transcribed under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Harry Bartell, Vic Perrin, John Daner, and Lawrence Dobkin. Parley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Filter tip smokers, this is it. L&M filters. At last, a filter tip cigarette with much more flavor, much less nicotine. L&M's miracle tip contains alpha cellulose for effective filtration. It's the filter that counts, and L&M has the best. Yes, this is it. As Patricia Morrison puts it, L&M filters are just what the doctor ordered. Buy L&M filters, the light and mild smoke. week at this same time, Chesterfield will bring you another story of the Western frontier on Gunsmoke. This is the CBS Radio Network.